Joshua chapter 3 and the first 6 verses. I remind you that this is a discourse in the series Thoughts on Joshua. I do not pretend it's a full-length sermon, it's just thoughts. What can we learn from these 6 verses? I believe whether we're believers or whether we're an unbeliever, these verses have something to say to us, and we do well to listen to what God says to us in His Word here. The spies have returned from Jericho with good news. Israel has received the promises of God. Joshua has been instructed that he should meditate day and night in the law of the Lord and lead Israel across the Jordan, and they will conquer the land. The spies have come back and confirmed this by their own testimony and experience at Jericho. And now we come to the crossing of the Jordan. The first thing I would have you notice here is this. Joshua and all the Israelites received the encouragements that were given to them by the spies. God had given them encouragements, and now the spies added their own personal testimony. And it was all very encouraging, God's promise, and the spies in their own testimony. But I know from personal experience how it is easy to get into a cast of mind where we just cannot receive encouragements. We get cynical, I speak for myself. We get depressed and we look on the black side of things. Here's a lesson. Joshua and the Israelites received these encouragements. How do I know that? Well, the action that they got involved in, the thing they did immediately. I see that they believed God's word. They really did trust. They believed what the spies had said. The experience confirmed it all. And they received these encouragements. Believer, receive all the encouragements that God gives you in His word, and in testimony, and in providence. Unbeliever, I would have you see the providence of God in directing you too. For one thing, you're listening to this discourse, I don't know how or why. Has God got some purpose for good for you? Look into it and see. The next point I would have you notice here is the enthusiasm of Joshua and Israel. They have to cross the Jordan, they have to go and conquer, they have to fight. But they're enthusiastic about it. This is what I mean. They believe the promises. They're encouraged. And it shows itself in enthusiasm. Where do I get that? Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out. Early in the morning, that's one thing. They didn't dawdle about. They got on with it. And I get the impression from reading from chapter 2 into chapter 3, and there's no chapter division, of course, I get the impression that it was straight away. The spies came back, it's ours, they're melting over there. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan. Enthusiastic. I want to be an enthusiastic believer. Enthusiastic in my experience of Christ. Enthusiastic in my service for Christ. Enthusiastic in my labors for Christ. Not grudging, foot dragging. But eager. Eager to serve God. How pleased and blessed was I to hear the people cry, "Come, let us seek our God today." Yes, with a cheerful zeal, we haste to Zion's hill, and there our vows and honors pay. I'm not just going to places of worship. Let us be ardent and earnest and fervent and quick in the Lord's work and in service to Him. Unbeliever, make haste and come to Christ. Flee from the wrath to come. Show some enthusiasm about it. Your soul's going to perish forever. Trust the Lord. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Be enthusiastic. Be earnest. Third thing I would see here is they face the difficulties, the reality. They went to the Jordan, where they camped before the crossing over. They saw the Jordan in full flood. They saw the difficulties. And they camped there, and they stayed there, for verse 2, after 3 days. So they stayed there for 3 days, and they could dwell upon the difficulties. The walled cities. The people ready for them. The people knowing they are coming. This nomadic tribe crossing the Jordan. Many, many difficulties. And they face the reality of it all. Believer, we must be men and women of reality. Mark said that we are the people who can't face reality. The atheists say that about us. It's rubbish. They're the ones who are not facing reality. There are difficulties, believer. Let us face them. But let us receive the encouragements of God and be enthusiastic. Let us wait patiently for the Lord's mind. But let us go on in spite of all the difficulties. The Jordan will part. The walls will tumble. Unbeliever, there are many difficulties perhaps in your way. Break through them all. Come to Christ. Press through every difficulty. Strive to enter the kingdom of God. I don't think that means a long seeking period, but be earnest about it. Come to Christ. Come to Him now. The next point I would see here is their discipline, their order. They're prepared to wait, but they're waiting in an order. Joshua is instructing them. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. Do this, don't do that, stay there, and all the rest of it. An ordered life here. They're enthusiastic, but they're not a mob, they're not a rabble. They face things in discipline and order. Unbeliever, take yourself in hand. Turn your eyes from the world. Stop lusting after this world in this age. Think of eternity and come to Christ. Then much is made of this, the next point. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. The Ark has to go ahead. And the Ark, of course, contained the tablets of stone, the law. I think the Ten Commandments stand there as symbolic, representative of the entire covenant of God, of course. What's the lesson for me? Scripture must lead me. I must be a man of Scripture, believer, man and woman of Scripture. That's what we must be. That's why I'm reading Joshua 3. That's where I'm getting this from. That's where I get my books from. I don't get them out of my own head or out of anybody else's head. I get them out of Scripture. Scripture must guide us. Men and women of Scripture. Unbeliever, I don't preach to you the fancies and dreams of seers and other men, imaginers and philosophers. I preach to you the Word of God. God commands you to repent. God warns you everlasting judgment. He offers you everlasting mercy. Follow Scripture. But there was respect for the Ark. That's the next point. You will know the way to go. You will move out and you will follow. The Ark will guide you. You've never been this way before, again facing the difficulties. But keep a distance of about 900 meters between you and the Ark. Don't go near it. What do I learn from this? Respect for the Word of God. Respect for God and His Word. Some believers make jokes about Scripture. It's abhorrent. Scripture. Scripture, the Word of God. God sent prophets and writers and publishers of the Scripture. And Christ Himself, the apostles, the Spirit of God to give us the Scripture. And men have died for the translation of the Scriptures. And we must treat it with respect. Unbeliever, I command you, in the name of God in His Word, repent and believe the Gospel. Respect the Ark. Respect the Word of God. Bow before the Word of God. Then there's dedication here. Dedication. Consecrate yourselves. For tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things for you and among you. Believer, let us be consecrated to Christ. This is progressive sanctification to me. Let us dedicate ourselves to Christ. Let us be committed to Christ. Let us be utterly given up to Him. Consecrated to Him. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. That's what I want for you, unbeliever. You're living for self. You're actually the sport of Satan at the moment. You live for him, though you don't know it. I would have you live for God. I would have you work for God and think for God, but first of all, you must come to Christ and belong to God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And then they had to expect great things from God. The Lord your God will do amazing things among you. Believe it. Expect great things from God. You remember the dictum about Carey? Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. William Carey. Believer, expect and attempt for God, because great things are promised to you. Unbeliever, huge benefits are offered to you. God will save you from all your sins, wash you from every stain, every utter condemnation in your life now. He will remove it in a stroke by the blood of Christ. And the things he will do for you and in you are beyond description. The life that he's laid up for his people is a blessing so immense, so infinite, so far beyond our comprehension, I could not possibly describe it. Expect and attempt great things for God. These are the lessons I see here. So Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. They obeyed. Unbeliever, are you going to obey the gospel? Are you going to obey my commands? Receive my invitations and encouragements now? Receive my warnings now? Everlasting damnation if you won't come? Everlasting salvation if you will come? Are you going to act upon it now and come to Christ in faith and repentance? Unbeliever, are you going to go out today and serve the Lord, expecting great things for him, attempting great things for him, looking to Scripture, respecting Scripture, receiving all the encouragements, facing all the difficulties, facing the reality of the problem, disciplined and ordering your life, attempting great things for God? In your small way, yes, they're great things, because you expect great things from God. And what grounds do you have for those expectations? Scripture. Scripture promises. Christ the Spirit. God the Father has promised to you. So be encouraged, believer. Be challenged. Be stirred. I want to be today. I want to act upon the principles I've seen in these 6 verses. An unbeliever, may this not just be a wasted few minutes for you. May this be the moment when you come under the conviction of your sin, hear the gospel, turn to Christ, and find everlasting salvation in him. May Joshua 3:1-6 live in all our hearts today for the glory of God and our everlasting good. Amen.